Generally, of course, everyone knows about Prabhupada, but I have noticed that when devotees describe about their personal experiences with Prabhupada, that seem to have a different kind of appeal. I was very fortunate to have the association of Srila Prabhupada. Although I joined the movement very late, I actually joined in 76 and I met Prabhupada in 77. So although I met him very late, Prabhupada, after that, Prabhupada was present on this planet only for about another 10 months. But I was very fortunate to be with him for all that period. And to come to that point, how I met Prabhupada, I'll just briefly describe what I was doing. I made up my mind to take to spiritual life, and I was looking for a guru. But unfortunately in India, I couldn't find anyone who I could surrender to or who I could accept as my spiritual master. Everyone seemed to be falling short of my expectation. So then at one point of time, I almost gave up any hope of finding a bona fide spiritual master. So when I gave up that hope, then I came across The Nectar of Devotion. I got this book from Calcutta Temple, and I went back home and I began to read the book. And when I began to read the book, then I felt that this is what I was looking for all this while. That this is the real path. Because prior to that, I did not have the personal concept of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was more of an impersonal approach. And obviously, I was frustrated. But when I began to read this book, The Nectar of Devotion, right from the very first page, it became clear to me that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we all are His eternal servants, and unless and until we become situated in His service, we all become miserable. So, and I found the book so interesting that I just kept on reading till I fell asleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I did was to pick up the book and start reading again. And this way, when I was reading the book, I made up my mind to become a devotee. I was picturing myself in my mind's eye that I was a Hare Krishna devotee. I shaved up, I was in Vrindavan, and because Nectar of Devotion, this gives all the details how a devotee should lead his life. Stay in Vrindavan, visit the temples, associate with the devotees. And so I made up my mind. And when I made up my mind, I felt a great joy. I felt that now I won't have to worry about myself anymore. I won't even have to worry about my spiritual life. It is all up to Krishna. And let Krishna decide what He wants to do with me. And I felt very peaceful inwardly, and then I found out that Prabhupada was not in India at that time. He was in America. So I decided to travel around the places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes. And then when Prabhupada came, I would surrender to him. And the next night, actually, I had a dream. I dreamt of Srila Prabhupada. And although I saw the pictures of Prabhupada in The Nectar of Devotion and other places also, Calcutta Temple and Back to God in magazine that I took also. So I had a dream, and I saw Prabhupada. There was a halo around him. Prabhupada was sitting on something like a throne. Of course, those days I didn't know what a Vasasana was. Because in India, generally the sadhus don't sit on big seats. And so I couldn't really relate to what that was, but at that time I thought that Prabhupada was sitting on a throne, and there was a brilliant halo around Prabhupada. He was not only a halo, he was effulgent. And as soon as I saw him, I felt that now I found my spiritual master. And that was it. I didn't ask him any question. And although it was a dream, but it was very vivid, as if I was very awake, but it was I was not seeing with my eyes. So I decided to travel around the places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes till Prabhupada came back. And thinking that, the first place I went to was Mayapur. And when I went to Mayapur, it was in the evening, and it was Sandharati was going on. I just arrived there. And the devotees were very nice to me. Like, whoever I spoke to, everybody invited me to stay and be one of them. Stay in the temple and become one of them. Although it was not so direct, but it was quite obvious that they were inviting me to become a devotee. And Mayapur, of course, those days was quite different. We didn't have so many big buildings, and it was just the main building, that main temple building, and the wall, or the small rooms on the walls. And we didn't have so many devotees also. There was about 20 Western devotees, and maybe about 30, 40 Indian devotees. And of course, nowadays we don't have so many Western devotees, but those days Mayapur had a lot of Western devotees, and it was a very nice, closely knit atmosphere. And we were, so this, and actually devotee meant Western devotees. Not many high class or educated Indians joined at that time. And the Indians, those who were there at that time, they're mostly weavers. We had that weaving set up, and some Bangladesh refugees came and took shelter of Prabhupada in Mayapur. So they were the Indian devotees, and mostly it was just Western devotees. And so all these Western devotees were asking me to stay in Mayapur. And so the next morning, I had a talk with Shatodhanna, and Shatodhanna was very much pushing me, very sincerely, not pushing, but he was persuading me that you have tried so many things in your life, so why don't you try this, become a devotee. And then I felt that, yes, I made up my mind already, and now that they're inviting, might as well stay. So I just went down and went to a barber and shaved my head, and I got a dhoti and a kurta from the shop. There used to be a shop, devotee shop, in front of the kitchen, and went to the Ganges and had a bath and became a devotee. And actually, when I became shaved up and put on devotee clothes, everyone in Mayapur got very surprised. And because they didn't really expect that I would join like that. And then I had to wait for a few months. But in the meantime, I got involved in so many different things, so many different activities in Mayapur, because there were so few devotees and there was so much to do that immediately I was sucked into all kinds of activities. And the service that I got involved in, was buying materials for the long building. That long building that you see in Mayapur now, that building was being constructed at that time. So I used to help Pancharatna Prabhu in purchasing materials for construction. And at the same time, I was doing some translation, and also at that time I started one work. I found some old articles of Prabhupada from 45 to 56 or so. And I collected all those articles and started printing a book. And then Prabhupada came back to India. And first Prabhupada came to Bombay. And one day I told Bhavananda Maharaj that I wanted to... this was to Bhavananda Maharaj. I told him that I wanted to go to Bombay to see Prabhupada. And he completely discouraged me. He said, what's the point in going to see Prabhupada in Bombay? As it is, Prabhupada is very sick now. Nobody can actually see Prabhupada. And even if you go to Bombay, you won't be able to see Prabhupada. So better to wait for Prabhupada to come to Mayapur. And when he comes to Mayapur, then he'll get to see him as it is. And so I was so involved with so many things that I could not, I also felt that I could not really dissociate myself from these responsibilities. So I stayed back, and then after a few weeks actually, Prabhupada went to Allahabad for Kumbh Mela, and we also went to Allahabad to meet Prabhupada there. We were about 50 devotees, a full bus load. We rented a bus and drove to Allahabad from Mayapur. And we had also some devotees from Mayapur and the whole group of Namhat. Those days we used to have a sannyasi called Guru Kripa Swami, who had a big collection group. They used to peak in Japan and all those countries, and they were really big. They used to give a lot of money to Prabhupada's projects. So Guru Kripa's whole party, and we went to Allahabad. And so when we arrived there, it was in the afternoon, and in Allahabad, in Kumbh Mela, there are thousands and thousands, what thousands, actually millions of people assembled there. And that year, 4 million people came to Kumbh Mela, and they all were staying there. And there was nothing. It's all flat bank of Jamuna and confluence of Jamuna and Ganga. And but they built thousands and thousands of tents. And we had a pretty big area covered by corrugated tin sheets. And there we had tents. And then there was one big tent for Prabhupada. And that tent was all walled so that nobody could go in there. And so I felt that I would wait till the evening. And in the evening when Prabhupada would give darshan, then I would go and see him. So thinking that, I was roaming around in that area. So at that time, Bhavananda Maharaj was going to Prabhupada with a... He brought some vegetables from Mayapur. So with a basket full of vegetables, he was going to see Prabhupada. And he saw me on the way, and he said, come, let's go and see Prabhupada. And I was very happy. So he took me by the hand, and we ran together to Prabhupada's tent. And so when I came in front of the tent, then I saw Prabhupada was inside. And from outside the tent, I offered him obeisances. And in the meantime, Bhavananda Maharaj went straight into the tent. And so when I got up after offering obeisances, and Rameshwar Maharaj, he was Prabhupada's secretary at the time, he informed me that Prabhupada was taking prasad, so I shouldn't go in now. So I just went out. But when I stood up, then I saw that Prabhupada was looking at me. So anyway, I just folded hands, I offered obeisances again and walked out. And that evening, Prabhupada was giving darshan. I was little late in coming to the tent. And The whole tent was packed with people. There are so many devotees and so many outsiders. There was practically no room to go in. So I somehow squeezed in between the last row and the tent. I was half sitting, half kneeling against the tent. And for a long time I didn't hear what Prabhupada was saying. All I could hear was my heart was beating very heavy. I could hear only the sound of my heartbeat. And because just seeing Prabhupada was such a wonderful experience. And especially after waiting for so long, I was... And then after a while, I just noticed that so many people are asking Prabhupada questions. There are many outsiders. They were asking different questions to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was just answering those questions. Like, it seemed like those people were shooting arrows at Prabhupada with their questions. And Prabhupada, very easily, he was waving those arrows aside by his wonderful answer. And at that time, I remember one encounter that was very, very remarkable. one Indian man, middle-aged businessman maybe. He asked Prabhupada, why aren't you renovating these old temples instead of building new temples? You're building these new temples, but there are so many old temples, so why don't you repair them? So Prabhupada didn't answer directly. He asked him, who is that lady sitting next to you? So that man, he was a little taken aback and said, she's my wife. Then Prabhupada asked him, why did you get married? And this man got completely flabbergasted. So he said, he couldn't say anything actually. Yeah. Then Prabhupada told him, putrarthe kriyate bharja, one gets married in order to produce children. One accepts a wife in order to produce children. So why produce children when there are so many children loitering in the streets? And then Prabhupada came to the point that the way you want to have your own child, the same way devotees like to have their own temples to offer to Krishna. So this way, Prabhupada just made the point, and everybody started to laugh loudly when Prabhupada made this point. Another encounter I remember very vividly from that darshan of Prabhupada. There was one Bengali man, young man. He asked Prabhupada why he is not doing service to people. Yeah, he asked Prabhupada what Prabhupada was doing for the sake of people. And this man asked the question to Prabhupada in Bengali, but Prabhupada answered him in Hindi. And Prabhupada just kept on blasting him. Prabhupada was so heavy. And so, each time this man would say something in Bengali and Prabhupada would just answer in Hindi. And he just kept on blasting this man, saying that what is your understanding of helping people? What do you know about helping people and how you are helping people? And Prabhupada was saying that these people, those who say that they are helping people in the name of helping people, they simply gratify their senses. They are not helping people. And Prabhupada was so heavy. And at one point this man asked him, why aren't you answering me in Bengali? Why are you speaking in Hindi? But Prabhupada didn't pay any heed to that. He just kept on blasting him in Hindi. And I could see, I actually felt a little bad. I felt that this man is never going to come to our temple. This man will never become a devotee because Prabhupada blasted him so heavy. And also I could understand that Prabhupada was saying in Hindi because Prabhupada wanted to make the point clear to everybody present there. Because there most of the people were Hindi-speaking people. It was Allahabad is actually a Hindi-speaking area. And strangely enough, after Prabhupada left this planet, this man became a devotee. One day I saw him in Mayapur, he became a devotee. And I was simply feeling that he's so unfortunate that he could have joined at that time and got the association of Prabhupada, but instead he missed that opportunity and he came so late when Prabhupada already left. Anyway, so this way Prabhupada was giving darshan, and it was so exciting. Like, seeing Prabhupada was like literally seeing the spiritual sky, and hearing from Prabhupada was literally hearing the transcendental sound vibration. And many, many important people came, many films, movie stars and big businessmen, they all used to come to see Prabhupada, because Kumbh Mela is a big, big fair. Spiritual fair. And I remember the next morning, Prabhupada was sitting outside, and we had the Guru Puja outside the tent. It was very cold at that time in Allahabad, very, very cold. And we had the Guru Puja outside, and one devotee was leading the kirtan, and so it was a fired up kirtan, very enthusiastic. After all, so many devotees were there. Very fired up kirtan. And then at one point, this devotee started to sing, Bhajo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He just used the expression, he added Bhaja, like Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And Prabhupada just stopped the kirtan. And Prabhupada asked him, where did you learn this bhaja? Where did you learn this bhaja Hare Krishna? So did you ever hear me singing bhaja Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada just chastised him for about 5 minutes. And he was very heavy, and he told that never add anything to the Mahamantra and never subtract anything from the Mahamantra. Sing Mahamantra just as it is. No addition, no alteration. And actually, that is the time after a few days, Prabhupada changed from, we used to sing Bhaja Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda before. But Prabhupada, instead of Bhaja, he changed it to Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And so that was another very remarkable experience I had. And it was, as I said, it was very cold, but Prabhupada was translating still at night. And it was a big fair, so there were a lot of shops, and many shops and many business things, they would play play movie songs in a blaring loudspeaker. And that used to disturb Prabhupada very much at night. So one morning Prabhupada decided that he would go to Calcutta. And so Prabhupada said, and so that means Prabhupada wanted to leave as soon as possible. So all the big leaders were making arrangements, and Prabhupada could not fly. Prabhupada's health was not very good, so he didn't want to fly in a plane. So he decided to go by a train, and an arrangement was made. We got a whole carriage, railway carriage for Prabhupada, and 14 devotees were included in the group to travel with Prabhupada, and by Krishna's mercy, I was also included in that group. And I felt very happy and maybe a little puffed up also that I have been included in that group that was traveling with Prabhupada. So at night, the train left, and so we all went to sleep after a while. After the train started to move, we went to sleep. And next morning I woke up and I took my bath and I was chanting. And so in the meantime, Bhavananda Maharaj just came out. And he came to the compartment where I was in. And he came and told me, come, I'll take you to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was just another compartment and one compartment away from the compartment I was in. And so at that time I felt that I'm not quite prepared to meet Prabhupada. Although all this while I was dying to see Prabhupada, but when the time came, I was kind of feeling withdrawn. Like in the evening darshans and morning darshans, although I was going to see Prabhupada, I never asked any question. I was simply listening all the nectar, I mean, trying to drink all the nectar that was coming from Prabhupada's mouth. So here Prabhupada was just one compartment away. And so Bhavananda Maharaj could understand my feeling probably. So he just grabbed me by my hand and dragged me through the corridor and opened the door of the compartment and pushed me in. And so as he pushed me in, I fell flat on the ground with the, in the dandavat. And so when I got up, I saw Prabhupada was looking at me, and so Prabhupada asked me to sit there next to him. Like in the Indian trains, in the first class compartments, there are two seats facing each other. In the West also it's the same, facing each other. Now in one seat Prabhupada was sitting, and on the other Bhavananda Maharaj, Jayapataka Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj were sitting. And Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta at that time, he was sitting on the floor. So I told Prabhupada, "No, Prabhupada, I'll sit on the floor." Then Prabhupada said, "No, you can sit here." And so I was hesitating. Prabhupada said, just he insisted. So there was a blanket or cushion on the seat. So I rolled that up and sat in one corner. And so Prabhupada asked me what I was doing, and then I told Prabhupada what I was doing. Then Prabhupada told me to translate his books into Bengali. And that's the first instruction I got from Prabhupada, to translate his books into Bengali. And then actually I asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, can I translate? Shall I be able to translate rather?" And Prabhupada said, in Bengali, Prabhupada told me the way one becomes an expert dancer by dancing, and the way one becomes an expert musician by playing musical instruments, the same way by practice he'll become perfect. So, and anyway, so this way there were some exchanges for a while, and then after a while, Harisodhi Prabhu, he brought Prabhupada's breakfast. So we left Prabhupada's compartment. And then when we came to Calcutta, Prabhupada stayed there for 3 days. And it was very nice. It was like a big festival. Like thousands of people would come to see Prabhupada and interview Prabhupada. And I was always hanging around in Prabhupada's room. Like I remember evening time, Prabhupada would give darshan, but when the arati would begin, then Prabhupada would tell everyone to go to the arati. And although everybody would leave the room, but somehow under some pretext, I would just stay in that room. And Prabhupada would not say anything. But I remember one day I was little, those days, you see, I had a different kind of concept of a sadhu, being an Indian. Sadhu, I thought the sadhu is a person who never touches money and so on and so forth. So, I was in Prabhupada's room, and when everybody left, Prabhupada picked up that pranami plate and he was counting the money. So then I was thinking, in one way I was thinking that why Prabhupada is counting money. But then I thought that, well, I should not try to understand the activities of a pure devotee. And so this way I was checking myself. And I was, that was very, at that time I realized that whatever Prabhupada did was perfect. Only our misconception of spiritual life or inability to perceive the spiritual platform doesn't allow us to see the perfection that Prabhupada displayed. And in one such evening, I asked Prabhupada whether he would give me initiation. Actually, prior to that, I used to be very afraid that because once I had a dream, and in the dream I saw Prabhupada, but I saw Prabhupada turned his face away from me. He was looking somewhere else. And I felt that as if Prabhupada is withdrawing his merciful glance from me. And I felt that as if Prabhupada is not going to give me initiation. So in a very with great anxiety, I asked Prabhupada whether he would give me initiation. And then Prabhupada said, "Yeah, sure. During Mayapur, I'll give you initiation." So I was very happy. And at that time, after staying in Calcutta for 3 days, Prabhupada decided to go to Bhubaneswar. And I actually could have gone with Prabhupada if I wanted to. But at that time, I was printing a book. That book, the articles that I collected from different magazines, Prabhupada's articles, I was compiling all those articles in a book. So I thought that instead of going to Bhubaneswar, I would stay back and finish the book printing. And when Prabhupada would come back, I would offer him the book. So, and Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar. He stayed there for a while. And then he came back to Mayapur. It was such a wonderful feeling, like the whole place became, the whole place was literally throbbing with joy that Prabhupada was coming, Prabhupada was coming. And so Prabhupada came, and I remember everybody was jumping and dancing, and devotees were throwing flowers from the top, and Prabhupada got out of the car, and he just, with that cane in his hand, he walked very majestically to the temple. And then he went to the room. And so Prabhupada was there, and every evening he would give darshan. He would sit on a bench in the garden in front of the temple, and devotees would come sit around him. And local people also would come and sit around him. And Prabhupada would give darshan. So then one day I was away to check out the printing. The books in Calcutta, actually, to get anything done is very, very difficult. Like this book, although I was literally sitting in the printing press for months together, but still this small little book with 64 pages was not out. Like only when I'm there sitting there, they would work. And as soon as I would leave, they would start doing something else. The book was not ready as yet. So one day I went to Calcutta to check out the book printing. And next day when I came back, then some devotees told me, Prabhupada was asking where you are in the evening. They said, "You are so fortunate, Prabhupada remembered you." And Prabhupada asked, "Where is that boy?" And after coming back, I went to see Prabhupada sometime in the morning. Then Prabhupada asked me, "Where were you?" I said, "Prabhupada, I was printing a book, and so I went to Calcutta." Prabhupada asked, "Is the book ready?" I said, "No." And he said, "Then what's the use of going there?" Then after, I think the next day or 2-3 days after that, one day I was having a shave. Like those days in Mayapur, we used to stay in the long building, and we used to take bath on hand pumps. There were about 7-8 hand pumps, and there was a cemented area, and we would just take our bath there. And the barber was shaving my head. So in the meantime, Bhavananda Maharaj came, and he said that he told me Prabhupada wanted to see you. And so I somehow finished shaving, had a quick shower, and I ran to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada asked me, "Do you know how to write Hindi?" I said,
yes, Prabhupada, but my handwriting is not very good. Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter. No, that time I didn't say my handwriting is not so good. I was, when Prabhupada asked, do you know Hindi? I said, yes, Prabhupada, I know Hindi. Because I was eager to do something for Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada said, okay, so take these letters. And then he told me how to reply those letters. And he said, so you reply these letters. So I took those letters and they were in Hindi. So I answered them, brought them back to Prabhupada, read them out to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada signed them. And so he gave me some more letters. So this way, the second day when I brought the letters to Prabhupada, Prabhupada told me, so from now on, you will become my secretary for Indian affairs. And he asked me to move into his secretary's room. At that time, Kamal Krishna Maharaj was the secretary. And so I was with Kamal Krishna Maharaj in the same room. And Kamal Krishna Maharaj was also very nice and friendly in the at that right from the beginning. Then during initiation, Prabhupada very mercifully gave me the first and second together. And then after a few days, Prabhupada was leaving for Bombay. And in the meantime, I had some very nice experiences. At that time Prabhupada was quite sick, and one day he, so Harishori Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant. So he actually wanted to get somebody else to serve Prabhupada, and he wanted to actually retire from that service. And he felt that I was a good candidate. So he was pushing me. That was actually before Prabhupada gave me the, asked me to be his secretary. So one day Harishori asked me, do you know how to cook? And I said, yes, I know how to cook. So he said, why don't you cook for Prabhupada? So I said, yes, I'll try. Actually, those days I didn't really know how to cook. I mean, I had some experience, like when I was in the West, I would cook sometimes some Indian food, but they are all kinds of inedible stuffs, and they're also not at all Vedic by any chance. So then Harishori went and told Prabhupada that I could cook, and Prabhupada said, okay, so let him cook then. But when I entered into kitchen, I felt like, my God, I mean, I am not at all qualified to cook for Prabhupada. And I realized that I don't really know how to cook. And so, at that time, Prabhupada's sister, Pishima, was there. So Pishima was a very good cook. So I went and told Pishima, you see, Prabhupada asked me to cook, but I don't really know how to cook. I don't know what to cook. So why don't you please help me? So Pishima said, fine. So she came to the kitchen, and so she practically cooked everything. So after cooking, I took the plate to Prabhupada's room. So Prabhupada started to eat it, and then he asked, who cooked? So I said, Pishima cooked. So Prabhupada was very upset. He said, I asked you to cook. I didn't ask your Pishima to cook. And he was very annoyed. And he told me to take the plate away. So I didn't know what to do. But Prabhupada just insisted, take that plate away. And he wouldn't take it. So then I had to take the plate. I was feeling very guilty that I felt that, oh my God, I offended Srila Prabhupada. And so then, that happened before that I missed. I thought of, I just remembered it. And another thing that was very significant, at that time Prabhupada had Prabhupada was displaying some kind of sickness in his body. And one very good Ayurvedic doctor came to see Prabhupada. And this Ayurvedic doctor was actually an acquaintance of Prabhupada. And he was actually the biggest Ayurvedic doctor in Calcutta. But he got involved in politics and he became a member of parliament. And so his Ayurvedic practice was completely gone. And so at that time this man was very old. He was so old that he became blind. But still when he got to know that Prabhupada became sick, so he came to see Prabhupada and treat Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada told me to take care of him also. So I would take care of him. This very nice man, his name is Bimalananda Tarkatirtha, Dr. Bimalananda Tarkatirtha. And so he would come to Prabhupada's room. I would actually bring him to Prabhupada's room in the morning. And he would check Prabhupada. And then he and Prabhupada would sit together and talk for a long time. So one day Prabhupada was telling him about his past life. He was telling that how when he finished his college, he didn't want to take up a job. He wanted to have an independent occupation. He felt to take up a job is a sudra's profession, so he didn't want to become a sudra. So he was trying to sell shares in share market. Where companies have shares, and Padmanabha Prabhu, probably you know what it is. Why? Share market? Vihai sir? Auction? No, not auction. No. A share. Say for instance, Siva Gaigi, yeah, or Mercedes. These public limited companies, they send out their shares and shares fluctuate. Sometimes share goes up, goes down. And anyway, Prabhupada wanted to. Prabhupada was in the share market. But Prabhupada's father had a friend called Dr. Kartik Bose. And so one day Dr. Bose came to Prabhupada's house. And this Prabhupada used to write. And he had some writing. I don't know, Prabhupada didn't describe what it was. He wrote something, maybe some small articles or a poetry. So Kartik Bose read that. It was lying, the diary was lying and the notebook was lying on the